This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome into another edition of Spits and Suds. I'm Gavin Spittle, and I'm joined by two-time Cup winner Craig Ludwig, who just informed me off the microphone that when he found out he was doing this podcast this morning, he stayed up all night, copious notes, just studying, rewatching the game. How are you, my friend?
none of that is true. I'm good. How come you sound so down today? You don't have your normal enthusiasm.
What do you mean?
On the weekend?
What do you mean? I sound down?
Well, no, maybe you just...
Oh.
You're just short.
I guess. Yeah, I'm just working, you know. Trying to make my voice a little lower. Hey, how's it going? What do you think?
Yeah, that's really sexy.
I love it. Okay, yeah. Let me just say this. Like, this podcast is for Stars fans, and I'm a Stars fan. I was sitting in the audience last night enjoying the tilt, and I will just say this. I have thoroughly enjoyed the hockey this week. I understand that, you know, it was only two out of a possible 4 points, but I thought both games it was good to get a point out of those matchups, and I wanted to get your thoughts last night, and I really enjoyed watching Carolina. I enjoyed the matchup between the two teams. I enjoyed the techniques. I enjoyed the adjustments that each team tried to make. I just thought it was a very, very interesting game. And, you know, like Sean and I were talking earlier in the week, just flip a coin when it comes to overtime. I understand the record is what it is, but that's not going to be the case when it's the playoffs. And I just enjoyed watching the talent on the ice this week.
Yeah, I mean, you have an up-and-coming team that's knocking on a playoff door that they haven't been in the playoffs in Buffalo in, what, 10, 12? I don't even know how long.
Correct, I think 2011, yeah.
Yeah, so it's been a while for them. And obviously a couple exciting players on that team. The Thompson kid has taken a step and one of the elite players in the league, and I think there's belief in that room. And I don't know if there's complete buy-in from the rest of the league about how good a team Buffalo is. And it doesn't matter. But I think sometimes, you know, when teams have been down for so long and you're seeing what they can do, and I don't know if you quite take them seriously until you play them once or twice and know that they are a good team. And regardless of what they've done against other teams prior to you playing them. So, they're a team that has youth. They're a team that has gone through some struggles, especially with their superstar in the last few years. And now that that's been cleaned up, I think it's allowed, again, I'm a big distraction guy, and I think it's allowed that cloud to leave that team. And I think probably if it's management, their message has probably been, this is us now. You know, everything's done, and what we're going to do is we're going to move forward with this group. So it's great for the Buffalo fans. And they're a tough team to play against. They score goals. They're an up-tempo team. And, you know, in the game last night, man, that, you know, you like to say that's a possible Stanley Cup final matchup. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it possibly could be, but it's a fast game. There's one thing that's clear, at least this year, and that's the good news, as you said, for the playoffs, is there is no 3-on-3 when you get into the playoffs. And I just think Dallas is a much better team as a team, as a group of five. And for whatever reason, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it's a special teams event during the, you know, the regular season. So,
and Craig, let me just stop you for a second. Maybe I'm like old school, or I'm getting kind of tired of overtime 3-on-3. You know, I know it's exciting, and for the fan that doesn't go to many Stars games, it's a thriller because something's going to happen, either a spectacular save or a goal to end it. The likelihood is less and less that they're going to go to a shootout, but I don't know. It's just, to me, maybe I'm too hockey purist.
Well, I'll tell you, you probably wouldn't expect this out of me. I like it. I like the overtime. Okay. And I guess I like it because I know it's not going to be here in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So it's a good entertainment. I think it's strictly skill on display. And I think today's game has got just tons and tons of skilled players. There is some strategy to it. You know, over the last few weeks, I've watched, and I think it was I don't even know who it was. It may have been Colorado playing, but I noticed something that they were doing, and I'm actually trying to implement it with our U18 team. Not that we get to a lot of 3-on-3, and it's always different depending on which league you play in, how you go to overtime, things like that. But anyway, you know, that's the thing about watching, you know, the best players and the best coaches in the world do their business, and you start to pick up little things that you think can possibly translate. They never really do, but at least you can give your younger players something to, you know, think about. But anyway, I look forward to it because I look forward to the skill. I look forward to how do the goalies get hung out to dry at times. And, you know, are teams going with three forwards? Are they going? I mean, I've seen a couple teams start with two defensemen and one forward now. And I'm like, well, that just means that you don't want to get scored on instead of just going out and winning it. But again, I don't know what their philosophies are. So anyway, yeah. But like I said, we know it's going away in another 32 games for the Stars, and we'll move on from there. So I kind of like it. I look forward to it. As a matter of fact, when I'm watching games and I get, you know, we all know the clock and we know times and scores of games that are playing around the league. And it's a little difficult when you got 10, 12 games going on, but I'm looking for the tie scores. And if there's a tie score and there's a minute to go, you know, I'll watch it and I'll click over to just to see what happens in the overtime.
And, you know,
that's all going away in a couple months.
Yeah. Yeah. And hockey playoffs are so unique. So the chances are they might not even face each other, but a Bruins Hurricanes 7-game series to me is just must watch.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey. Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
A couple things that impressed me about the Hurricanes last night, Craig, is their cycling in the offensive zone was so impressive. How they just their puck possession and how they just waited for their opportunity and how they kept winning the puck battles. And they really had, I thought, the Stars on their toes as far as just try to get it out of the zone so you can make a line change. I thought the Stars, when they broke out, you know, had some effective chances, really saw the speed and skill of Wyatt Johnston last night, and super excited about his career with this team. He's shown really no signs of slowing down. In fact, I think he's playing probably some of his best hockey right now as far as two-way. You know, you look at the Stars last night, they were, you know, one of the keys to the game. They were beaten in the faceoff circle, except for Wyatt Johnston, who won the majority of his faceoffs. So I thought it was just an interesting game. You know, Wyatt Johnston hits the post. That could have been the game winner in regulation. So I thought maybe we'd see an emergency goaltender last night. That would have been really interesting. So, you know, it was just, it had a game of a lot of things. There was a fight where Glenn Denning came in, and I was surprised he didn't get a 2-minute instigator penalty.
You weren't as surprised as Rod Brendamore.
Yeah. I mean, there's no penalty on the play. He goes after the Carolina player, and there's no instigator. It was just interesting.
Yeah. You know, when you talk about getting to that third goaltender, that emergency goaltender, I thought Rantanen was selling it anyways. I didn't think he was hurt. I think he knew there was a high stick to the back of the head. He obviously wouldn't have known if it was his player or another player, but he sold it well. And I think when he found out that it wasn't, you know, his own player, I think he was trying to sell. A lot of times that'll pay off down the road. You know, there was a referee standing right there in the corner, and for whatever reason, he didn't, you know, think it was in. I actually liked the refereeing last night, too, because I think they thought, you know what, there's two really good teams playing here, and we're, you know, what were there, two penalties apiece last night?
Yeah.
And I don't think either one of them had a shot on net. But the fact was is that I think they let him play, and I think that was the right decision. I don't think there were, you know, yeah, there could have been an instigator there. But good on Luke for, you know, sticking up for a team.
Sure.
That's where this team has come. We've seen that this year, whether it's Marchman, Glenn, and it's some of the guys that you probably wouldn't expect at times. That I mean, again, if you're a general manager, you're sitting up there, you know, you're loving it because that you know, that's why we always talk about trades. And, you know, when you have a team and you're sitting up there and you analyze your team all year long and you're going, we got a good group of 23 here. And, you know, we want to give our team the best chance we can to go as far as we can in the playoffs. What do we do? What don't we do? You know, we've all heard it. Some of the best moves that are made at that time of the year or when you don't make any. So it'll be interesting. But, you know, Carolina, when you talk about the cycle game, what Carolina does is what they are, is they're on the same page. And they're a puck placement team. They take pucks and they chip into little areas. They don't necessarily try to make a tape-to-tape pass all the time, and they'll put it into an area because they know that the other four guys are on the same page. They know the direction it's going, and you see so many times it's just a 1-2-3-foot little chip into an area, and there's already a player coming there. And what it does is it, you know, obviously it does a few things. It can create some chances, but mainly what it does is I think is even if you're not getting a scoring chance out of it, you're getting something close to one, but the team that like, for instance, if it's in the Stars end and they have that puck in that end and they contain it and they get the puck, they get it back, they give it up. They got guys on you. They do the right thing with the first guy. He comes, he eliminates, the second guy comes in, picks it up. They continue to cycle. Ultimately, what it does is it wears down that team that spends it in their defensive zone. By the time they do get the puck out and want to, you know, go the other direction, they're tired. And a lot of times they don't get it to the center line to be able to get it in and change. And now all of a sudden they got to come back again. But even if they do get it and have to put the puck in because they know they've been doing a lot of work in their own zone, they've got to change. And what that does is the counterattack for you know, in this case, Carolina, they just turn and come right back. Yet, you know, and if you do change, you know, there's guys chasing back into your own zone. And if you can't change, well, then now you've got really tired guys out there. So, you know, they're a good example of what the league or a lot of teams have tried to do. And New Jersey's another one of those teams. They do the same thing. And so there's teams around the league with the speed. They don't always have to be the biggest player. They're just quick and they put pucks into certain areas and they beat you those races. And when you start to get cut off, there's another little spot. So, you know, and I think Dallas has, you know, done that same thing this year. And they're maybe Carolina's a little bit ahead of them, but they've been doing it for a long time. So what Dallas, what 20 shots last night or something like that?
Yeah. Carolina had not many shots in the game 25. Total.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was one of those kind of games.
Yeah.
It was a great game.
Yeah. It really was. It really was. And I tweeted before the game, I was like, you know, just shut down Sebastian Aho. And that's tough to do. And I know a lot of people don't see him. And I know he was injured in the first matchup. But he truly is a special, I like to say a special two-way player because he is a two-way player. Very similar to Anze Kopitar, who I also don't think gets a lot of credit for his career. And he just quietly goes about his business, both on the offensive and defensive you know, kills penalties, you know, everything that needs to be done. But, all right, from a Stars perspective, we've seen a lot of Joel Hanley lately rather than Lundqvist. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, and what you see is it's dependent on the opponent, you know, and so I don't know. It tells me more about where they are with, you know, with Lundqvist. But again, he's a young kid. They know he's not a big player. And is it telling you that we're not really, how do we put this? Not really sold on our six defensemen, our top six, top five, whatever it may be, going into the playoffs. And so does that mean we're looking? Are you looking to add? And I mean, if you consider yourself a contender, I would definitely be thinking they'd be looking to add. And so if you're going to give, you know, Hanley that opportunity, you're going to give Lundqvist that opportunity, who is it? And I just think that you can never have enough depth. We've talked about this before. You can never have enough depth on the back end. But, you know, you look at what that team had that their opponent was last night. There's a pretty solid six there. And there's a couple other teams that have, you know, a good six, seven defensemen. So I would think if there's an area that Jim is looking to, I don't want to say upgrade, but maybe bolster, you know, you're looking around and you're saying, okay, well, let's find out if I can't make a move, which one of these guys is my best number six. And, you know, you have to be careful because when you look around, you know, the way the standings are, you want to do your best right now to finish where you're at. Because there's a team that's just recently won a Stanley Cup that's on the move. And I'm not sure that they're going to, you know, I don't think they're going to climb to the top, but you don't want to fall a spot. That's my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I understand. Sean and I talked about that. We do not want to play them.
No. Well, again, I think what happens is, you know, you've got a team that's getting healthy. They're getting, you know, their top players back. And ultimately what that's done is it's rested them. Not only, you know, nobody wanted to be hurt, but when it's some of your top players, you're kind of thinking, well, let's just hang around. So whether it's Landeskog or Nichushkin or, you know, McKinnon, guys like that. I mean, those are your top players on your team. Makar's got a couple games off for whatever reason. Man, now let's just make the playoffs. We know who we are. We know what we can do when we're healthy. So, you know, for I don't, you know, and again, I don't know if that should be a concern, but I would really think that if you fall into that number two spot and somehow you flip with Winnipeg or whoever it may be, I don't think Winnipeg or Dallas wants to play the defending Stanley Cup champion as healthy as they possibly could be in that first round. So, you know, it's not that you're looking in the rearview mirror, but, you know, you're just trying to take care of your business, but you have to be aware of it. And, you know, should you play that team, get back to defenseman, you know, and again, I look out there and everything always has to do with salary cap. We know that.
Yep.
But there are some D-men out there.
Yeah.
There's Chychrun in Arizona has been talked about a lot. Matt Dumba in Minnesota has, you know, he actually, they sat him out a couple of games. Luke Shen, a big, big, strong defenseman.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's what you're.
I'm thinking for. Shen because I like the salary of Shen.
Well, would you, I mean, would they even entertain John Klingberg? I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like,
good question.
Knows? I mean, I can't see Anaheim.
Yeah.
I don't know. But again, maybe that ship has sailed.
I think the purpose that I'm looking for is to get, and I don't know if Shen's this guy either. I mean, and it might be too late at the trade deadline without giving up a haul. But ultimately, it would be awesome to get a top four stay-at-home defenseman that knocks like a Suter down to a third line pairing.
Yeah. Like I said, we've talked about Suter before. So,
yeah,
you know, again, Ryan's 38 years old.
Yeah.
You know, and he's got miles on him. He's played over 1,300 games and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, and you can see there was even one last night, you know, somebody gets a step on him and he's gone. But again, I think he's tailored his game. He knows where he's at in his career. And, you know, so he's, yeah, he's not, a lot of guys, I mean, aren't going to be the same defenseman they were at 25 when, you know, when
right. Sure.
Years old. So I just look at, if you brought in more weight, you know what I mean?
I agree.
But again, in today's game, you have to be able to move and keep up with the pace and everything else. So, you know, that's one of the areas I'd be looking.
Yeah, as a guy who won two cups, I think you'd agree. And I guess tell us about the saying, you know, in the playoffs, the rink gets smaller. And with that, the physicality ramps up. And I do worry about a Lundqvist. And candidly, I worry about a Haskinen a little bit. You know, because of their size, and, you know, I don't think the Stars are the most physical team. I think Marchman's brought some physicality, but, you know, for the most part, I think that is something that is a little bit of a concern for me.
Yeah. It gets heavy. I mean, it gets heavy in the playoffs. Yeah. And, you know, the biggest thing is you're playing the same team every other night for 2 weeks. And there's tendencies that are brought out, and you know the guys that don't like to necessarily get hit and play that kind of game, and so they get targeted. You know, like a guy like Miro. If you're going into a series against the Dallas Stars, you know who you're targeting. I mean, you're going to try to make it as difficult on Robertson and Haskinen as you can. And you know, obviously Hintz would be one of those also. So. And they know that. I mean, and that's all part of, you know, learning how to play and playing the playoffs and all that other kind of stuff. So it's going to get tough and not necessarily. I mean, it goes round and round. And as the deeper you get, you know, the more bumps and bruises, and then it becomes a mental thing. Do you want to fight through it? So,
yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. This is Spits and Suds, and joined by two-time cup winner, you're one of your favorite Dallas Stars, Craig Ludwig. And so last night, Craig, I wanted to end on this. So I'm looking above me in my section, and there it was. Three Hartford Whalers sweaters. Three Hartford Whalers sweaters, sir. And I know it's because, you know, Carolina was formerly the Hartford Whalers, but I said to myself, what a perfect time to have Craig on to reminisce about the old Hartford Civic Center, the Adams Division, the Hartford Civic Center, the Cooperalls, and playing against former college roommate Dave Tippett, Mike Liotte in goal. And but they had some good pieces. They just never could put it together. And what was it like as a player going into a very small city in Hartford, Connecticut, and playing essentially, am I correct, in a mall area in the Hartford Civic Center?
Oh, God bless that mall. We had to walk from our rooms. We had to walk through the mall, down an elevator or up an elevator, whatever the hell it was. But you always had to walk by this one little bar that we stopped at all the time. So it was so convenient. Never had to walk outside. And, you know, so there was a pit stop always on the way back from a game. The worst thing about Hartford was that damn song. And I hopefully you're going to be able to find that damn song. And you can drop it in here. And it was not. It was bullshit. I hated that song. It was their goal song. But you know what? With all the bad, and it's just a, you know, again, no, I don't mean this bad about anybody that lives in Hartford, but I don't know. I don't know what the hell you're doing living there. So it's not, I'd have moved. You know, I don't know how many guys actually live downtown, and it's probably beautiful outside, but outside downtown area. But anyway, it was I guess I can put all that aside because I remember Claude Lemieux, I think it was game seven in overtime. He scored that goal against Hartford that got us on, moved on to the next round and won the cup that year. So, but you know what? They were tough games. As a matter of fact, I think I actually got to play against Gordy Howell. I think.
Really?
I think that was the year. One of my first years, obviously, because Marty and Mark were there, and I think he came back to play a game with them, and somebody looked that up, but it was one shift. That or was Detroit. It was one of the other. He may have come back. It could have been Detroit now that I think about it, but it was one shift. It was kind of when he wanted to play in what was it? All four or five generations or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Decades or something like that. So, but it was that, you know, he was kind of doing that one kind of game thing. So, but yeah, I mean, his sons were there and got to play against them, but they were, you know, but they had some good players that came through it. It was, you know, I'm not saying there's cities when you're going on road trips and things like that, you kind of circle and go, man, I can't wait to get here. And this was not one that I circled. So I don't know how many of us did, but again, I go back to the little bar in the mall. That's what stands out the most for me is being able to go to that.
Great logo, though. Back.
And we always had tough games. I mean, it wasn't like they were a poor team either. It was always tough games. They had great fans. Got to say that about their fans. They had some meatheads there too. So, but that was I guess we were the Adams division then. So
yeah, that was one of the toughest divisions in hockey that you played.
Yeah, that was regardless Quebec and Boston. I mean, yeah, it was a tough division.
It was you guys, Montreal, Quebec, Buffalo, Hartford.
Don't forget. Yeah. Well, it was, where was Boston?
Boston. Yeah, you're right. Sorry.
Yeah. I was going to say, trust me, Boston was in that one because the days that I had to face Cam Neely was not a
problem. No,
you didn't get a lot of sleep in the
afternoon. I mentioned this before. I'm going to date you. I was a little guy in the stands.
You still are.
Yeah, thank you. I like to think of myself as a feisty guy. Kind of like a third line, you know, get into it. Yeah, I'm an agitator. How's that?
What's that little cartoon with the big bulldog and the little dog? Hey, Spike, hey, Spike. What's that cartoon?
I don't even know, Craig. But yeah, I'm depicting
dog. You're the little dog chasing Spike around.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not Spike, right? Heel. Yeah.
Yeah, you get up, you get as high as the other dog's heels. So
but I was at the game where Knuckles Nyland smashed Rick Middleton into the boards. I've told you this. And I mean, the blood was ridiculous. And the rest of the night, that was a fun night for you guys, right?
Well, he basically Rick ate Knuck's stick. So that's when he knocked all his teeth out and got 10 game suspension, I think it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you do that today, you're out of the league. But, you know, back then it was that. I mean, I believe it was 10 games. But that was a life sentence back in our day, 10 games.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that does bring up a question that I wanted to ask you.
Oh, shit. I should have.
You could have ended the podcast right now. I know. All right. So a quickie. I have this theory because, I mean, you can't go a game without a high stick. And I have this theory that it's because of the weight of the sticks. And they're so light that they just come flying up. And there's just less stick discipline, of course. Do you think the changing of the stick has anything to do with the amount of high sticks?
No.
Okay.
I think the masks do. I think the masks and the shields do.
Okay.
There weren't these many high sticks when we played when they're... You know, there were guys playing with no helmets for years that never got high stick. You respected the players. I mean, you respected each other, their eyes, their face, their teeth. And then all of a sudden when the shields came on and then became mandatory, and it really, I think when the Europeans came into the league, before there was any kind of rules about it, and they came in with their shields. And again, we're all old school and you're thinking, oh, are you kidding me? This guy's wearing a shield. And so I think you took it a little bit, you took it out on those kind of guys a little bit more. And then ultimately, you know, they became mandatory. And as soon as they became mandatory, you weren't as responsible. And you thought, well, nothing's going to hurt him. I mean, he's going to get hit in his little shield there. And ultimately, it ended up bringing the sticks up. And, I mean, I think there were probably just as many guys that got hurt because a stick got caught in the shield, you know, and then you're trying to, and then the player did it accidentally, and then he's trying to pull it out. And, you know, get him on the way down the face. So I just think when the Shields came out is when you didn't have to worry about injuring other players and making sure that your sticks weren't down. And that's my opinion. So I don't know, but Chester, that's who it is. Spike and Chester. Folks, follow the cartoon. Go look up.
Are you serious?
Spike and Chester.
I ask you a serious high-sticking question.
You're the little guy behind the big bulldog. Hey, Spike. That's you.
I'm trying Spike to find out the Gordie Howe answer for you, and you're looking up Spike and Chester.
No, I just remembered it because it's been bugging me. I've been talking because I can see it. So it's Chester, I believe, or Alfie. I don't know. Now it's either Chester
Spike
or Alfie.
Spike the bulldog and Chester the
Chester, what is Chester?
Chester's a terrier.
Oh, I thought it was a chihuahua.
And he's got, he's light skinned like me.
Yeah, see, you're Googling it, aren't you?
Oh, I am now, yeah.
Yeah, you're that little runt behind there. And does it have a tennis racket or a tennis ball in his mouth? Chester carrying a tennis ball?
No. There's no, it was part of the Looney Tunes series. Spike is the burly gray bulldog wearing a red sweater, a brown baller hat, and a perpetual scowl, which is Craig Ludwig. And Chester is a Jack Russell Terrier who is just the opposite, small and jumpy, yellow fur and brown, perky ears.
There you go.
Should we change the name to Spike and Chester?
Here's your new logo.
Change the name from Spitz and Suds to Spike and Chester.
Just take an old ragged tennis ball and put it in Chester or Spike's or whoever it is. Put it in Chester's mouth.
I never should have told you that I played tennis.
Nope, you shouldn't have. Nope, you shouldn't have.
Shouldn't I be proud of that?
If that's what it takes.
No, yep. I mean, you know, playing tennis at a competitive level.
Everybody has to have some way to pat themselves on the back. So.
Are you questioning the manliness of... Okay, so if you're questioning that, then what are your thoughts on pickleball?
Oh, come on now, Chester. I'm not going to get into all these other new sports.
I'm calling you out.
Listen, I only hear great things. As a matter of fact, I was having a beer with a few guys the other day, and one of them had just got done playing or something like that, and, I mean, loved it. So apparently, it's a great... Ralphie, I had Ralphie on my podcast, and that went at the time, Ralphie was all giddy about he had just got done playing pickleball in California where he's living. And as a matter of fact, he was looking at either building a court or getting involved in it. So, you know, it's, I don't know. I don't know anything about it. I've seen it on TV and for, you know, 10 seconds. And, but hey, it seems to be the thing. So I look forward to playing it someday.
All right, I'll do it. He's Spike. I'm Chester. You've been listening to Spitz and Suds.
All right.
On to New Jersey.
That's going to stick. I'm just telling you.
Oh, yeah, I know. We have a charity dinner in a couple of weeks. Which I am not looking forward to. Last year was just awful. And I remember walking off just feeling so dejected being around you for 3 hours. So hopefully this year we can
Chester the pinata.
Hopefully we can have proper separation so I can talk to a few guys that paid for this.
Hey, I know the owners. So I know the owners. I can definitely get you your own table if you'd like.
I probably need it.
It could be at a different restaurant, but I can get you your own table.
All right. We either lost all our listeners or gained a few. Who knows? Yeah. But this has been fun. You've been listening to Spitz and Suds. We'll be back at it tomorrow. Sean Shapiro, who likes me, will join me as my co-host. And until then, he's 2-time Stanley Cup champion and a guy that's just not a fan of me. He's Craig
Ludwig. All right, well, good talk, Chester. Yeah. Later.
We'll see you tomorrow, everyone.